Today's topic is the halachic status of civil marriage and of marriage performed by non-Orthodox clergy men or women, I guess, for that matter. This is relevant primarily in two contexts. We'll see there are other contexts as well, but two primary contexts where this is relevant, where you would potentially need to make a determination as to the halachic validity of a non-halachic marriage. Are number one, where a get is not forthcoming. Do you require a get from such a marriage? And even if lechachila, you do require a get, what happens if a get cannot be obtained? If push comes to shove, how do we view that marriage as far as the need for get? And there, the consequence is one of potential iser kares, if you have an eish yesh that you're matched without a get where necessary. And the second primary context is of mamzerus, where you had a first marriage that ended without a get. And then the woman has a relationship with a second man and has a child from that relationship, which if the first marriage was a halachically valid marriage that did not end with the get, the product of that relationship of Eishes Ish Zinsa is a mamzer. If the first marriage was not halachic, then there's no mamzeris. And there are potentially slightly lower stakes in that Minat Torah, at least we assume that Safik mamzer is mutter. So the primary questions to address are whether such a ceremony, either civil ceremony or not a halachic ceremony, constitutes a halachically valid wedding. And even if not, what about if you have a husband and wife that are living together in a marital context? Does that create a de facto halachic marriage, even if there was no halachic marriage ceremony per se? So the Mishnah in Gittin on Daf Pei Aleph Amud Aleph has the following. You can take a look at the Marmar Komas I sent. If you have it, I'll put it on the screen. The Mishnah says, if a man gave a get to his wife and then subsequently they meet up together in a hotel for the night, Beishamay Omrim Eino Tzrichei Menu Get. Does that subsequent meeting constitute a de facto kiddushin that would require a get afterwards? Gemara says on Amud Beis, "B'mai pligi, the ika eide yichud v'leka eide bi." We're talking about a case where there are eide yichud. There are eidim that can testify that the man or the woman were together in the same hotel room. But there were no Eidei Biyah. So Bisham Isavri Lor Minan Hein Hein Eidei Yichud Hein Hein Eidei Biyah. But Beisil Isavri Aminan Hein Hein Eidei Yichud Hein Hein Eidei Biyah. So that's the machlokes. So Bisham, do we say Hein Hein Eidei Yichud Hein Hein Eidei Biyah? Do we assume that the fact that there are Eidei Yichud is enough to create a de facto presumption that there was Biyah? And if there was Biyah, then that is presumed to be Lashem Kedushin, at least in this context. Okay. Machlokas Rambam and Ravid, which is essentially Rambam and Gaonim, whether this Mishnah, the din in Gittin, is that limited to a context of a grusha where there is some kind of stronger pre-existing relationship, and there may be more of an assumption that if they get back together again, that's the same kedushin, or does it apply to other contexts as well? So the Rambam writes in Halacha Yud Ches, Nisyachid Ima Bifnei Edim. So if you have yichud in front of edim, im haisa migureshes shema. So if we're talking about a case where the woman is already a grusha from this husband, so then we say hein hein edim yichud hein hein kamo. So then we're choshesh that this bia was l'shem kedushin, and the eidei yichud constitute eidei bia. Lefikach tzricha gemi safek varehi safek mikudeshes. Fine. Then the Rambam writes in Halacha Yutes, Hohu miksas ha-ga'onim, shekol isha shetibal b'fnei eidim tzricha get. So the Mishnah in Gittin only tells us about a woman who is nisgarsha from the husband and subsequently reunites. And that's what we say, calling that's what we say, hein hein eidei yichud hein hein eidei bia. But the Rambam quotes from the Gaonim that this is true for any woman who has eidim or Eidei Yavia requires a get. Chazaka she'en adam osa bilaso be'ilasnos. Because we always assume that ein adam osa bilaso be'ilasnos. But even not in the context of a woman who is nisgarsha from her husband, that any time there are Eidei Yichud, hein Eidei Yichud, hein Eidei Bi applies, and we say in Adam Osa Bi'ilaso Bi'ilasnos. So that's the position of the Gaonim that the Rambam quotes over here. The Rama Paskins in Simen Lamed Gimel, Evan Ezer Seif Aleph, Yesh Omrim, the Panay Habala Penuya, Lifne Adim, Choshishin, Shema Kivan Lashem Kedushin. Anytime you have Panay Habala Penuya and their Adim, we're Choshish that there's Kavanah Lashem Kedushin. The Chazaka Ein Adam Osa Bilas Bilasness. Okay? So the assumption is that you have Kavanah that the Bia should be Lashem Kedushin. However, Aval and Kvar Huchzak Lusnus, O Sheyesh Lo Isha Acheres Lo Chashina. However, if the person is Hochlak Luznus, we know that the person is that kind that you don't assume that Ein Adam Osa Bilaso Bilasnus. He doesn't have, he doesn't conduct himself in such a way that he's entitled to such a chazaka. Or there are other Raglayim Ledavar to indicate that there's no Kavanah L'Shem Kedushin. So then you don't default and assume that any Bia is L'Shem Kedushin. His Keshuva quotes Simon Kuf Mem Tesef Katan Beis, Kuf Mem Tesef Katan Beis from the Radbaz, that if someone is Paritz Barayas, that he lives such a lifestyle, that that's considered like Snus, and there you wouldn't invoke the Hein Hein Eide Yichud, Hein Hein Eide Bia. Okay. So in the context of contemporary in the last 100, 200 years, civil marriage, and whether where there is such a civil ceremony, you would then invoke Hein Hein Eide Yichud to assume that even if there's no halachic kedushin in a ceremony, but there is an Ein Adam Osa Bilasnus chazaka. So in more contemporary parlance, this is known as a machlokas between Rav Moshe and Rav Henkin. But really, this is something that's discussed much earlier in the Rishonim. The Tshuvas HaRivash, which we'll see is quoted halacha by the Mechaber and the Raman, two places in Ebenezer, Rivash, Simon Vav, was talking about a marriage performed for Anusim in some kind of a church wedding ceremony where there was no possibility of procuring a get subsequent to that. So the Shaila was, Simon Vav, Isha Achas Bav Ni Miraka, Me'osan Ha'anusos La'avodas Kochavim. So a woman was from this family of Anusim, who were publicly acting as the Christians, but privately keeping the religion. And she had a child. So they asked, Mativcha, Mativa Shaben. Is that what's the story? V'amra, She'anas Echem, the Eretz Argonon, Tavali Nasi Lo Kon, Magzeir, Kedat Moshe, Behudis, Wasa Yada. So there's a certain other Anus in Spain who proposed marriage, and the proposal was to have a halachic marriage, but they didn't end up having a halachic marriage. Lachar gzeira b'kamo shavu echad va anus echa lavodas kachavim ho avoshel oso anus achafitva v'dibar aliba linaseilat. So then someone else came and convinced her to marry him. Venus paisa v'nigmar zivag b'nehem, and they clinched the deal. Ella Shiloki Shabedim, Melanisa Slavasara. There are no Ada Kedushin, there's no minion. Ala Aide of the Kochavim, the Chukos Datam, the Kohane Bamosam. But they had a marriage in the church. The Yashva Bebeso Kamo, Kishtel, Choldavi, Becheskathishis. They were living as husband and wife. By Yodim Zeh Anusim Rabim, and many of their contemporaries were aware of this relationship. The Yashav Ima, Kimishlosh Kadasha, they lived together as husband and wife for 3 months. And it's happy the man of Zepiri, and she was pregnant from him. Then he disappeared. So what's the status of this marriage? Is this woman an aguna who's unable to remarry because she had this first husband and wasn't able to procure a get? So the Rivash writes, Ein safek ki erisin and osuin tikar ein kamosh yetir, so call what you want. Shanasu bin mimuse of the kachavim u bekone babalsan, that was done in the church. She'ein behem chashash kedushin. Even if there are kosher edim who were present at the church ceremony, there's no nesina l'shem kedushin. So even if you'll say that there isn't a sin of sabbath, so that arayim of kedushin, that's good enough. Since the context was to get married, and that's k'medaber im aliske kedusha, still. So the ceremony as represented is that there was no nesinas atabas. It's just that the priest blessed everyone and gave each one a ring himself, but there's no nesinas atabas from husband to wife. And then he writes, so he references this machlokas ramam ga'onim. Do we say, hein hein eide yichud, hein hein eide bia, in any situation? But to that, the Rivash says, "Dafilu ladas osam agaonim zal, shesovin de b'stam ramin l'shem kedushin bal, hacha b'nidim zal lo bal l'shem kedushin. De kevan shehisnu b'nisuayan b'chukas ha'akum b'beis b'mosam b'biyah kolner, harayu ki'ilu pirshu she'in da'atam l'shem kedushin g'das moshir sof Yehudas." The fact that they had a church ceremony indicated that they're not interested in having a halachic wedding. So she's not considered to be married, no more than a pilegesh, and therefore, if you can't procure a get, then the woman is free to remarry. Then the Rivash has the third point. So again, the number one, he says, there's no intention of kedushin kedas Moshe Yisrael. It was done in a church ceremony, even if they're kosher edim. And anyway, in that particular ceremony, there wasn't an asinus tabas. And Lamaisa, there were no kosher edim. And even if you'll say, and there's no intention of the same kedushin because they did in the church, even if you'll say that, no, we should still say ein adam osa bilasa bilasnus, like the Gaon, and that applies across the board. He has another argument that the fact that these people were not choshesh for the iser nida hachamor indicates that they weren't choshesh for the iser kal upon the habala penuya. Right, no one is going to the mikvah. No one's concerned about Isur Nida. So what are you going to tell me? Ein adam osa bilasa bilasnus. A person is not going to be baal shelol l'shem kedushin. But if they don't care about the Isur Nida, which is an Isur Kares, then why do we assume that they care about the Isur Kal of Panei Haba al ha-Penuya? Okay, so this Rivash is quoted halacha both by the Mechaber and the Ramah. The Mechaber is in Kuf Mem Tes Vav. The Ramah is in Simen Kavav Sif Aleph. Kavav Sif Aleph. We'll just read the Ramah there. The Ramah writes, V'chei mumer shenasa mumeris avodas v'chavim b'ni musayhen. V'n isgayr achgat. Isgayr doesn't mean the gayr is already Jewish. It means that they are choser b'tshuva. Ain kan chashash kedushin klal who mutaris lasek men of lo get. So there's no chashash kedushin, you don't need to get. Alpha pi shashayim kamashanim eino elik is nus ba'alma. Even though they live together as husband and wife, but that's only znus. And the Mechaber has the same thing in Simen Kuf Mem Tes Se'if Ba. Okay. The argument of Rav Henkin, who was the proponent in the last generation of requiring a get even likuva for civil marriages, which he outlines in a few essays published in his ksavim, for example, Pirusha Ivra Simon Gimel, which appears in Kol Kitzvei Rav Henkin. One of his arguments was that there are certain kinyanim that require kavana l'shem kinyan, a standard kinyan mishicha, or a kinyan agbar, or a kinyan kasef. Those kinyanim require kavana. So if you do mishicha but you have no kavana l'shem kinyan, then that's not necessarily an effective kinyan. But there are other types of kinyanim that do not require kavana. Something lands in your property and is properly shamur, so then that could affect the kinyan. The chatzah could be caught on your behalf, even if you have no kavana, l'shem kinyan. So Repenkin argues that there are certain natural kinyanim that are within the teva of the world that don't require kavana either. So leaving aside the ceremony, even if it wasn't a halachic ceremony, even if there are no kasher edim, even if it was done in a church. But if you have a husband and wife living together as such, so that constitutes some kind of a natural kinyan, even if we're not going to quantify that as a formal ein adamos habilas habilas nus, but that is de facto kavana l'shem ishus, and that would constitute a de facto halachically valid marriage. And then Rav Henkin has a public policy consideration as well, that he argues, even if you would be inclined to be mekel b'makom igun, and not require a get where you're forced, you have no choice. But he's concerned that to do so would encourage a trend away from halachic marriages. That if you're going to rule that such a non-halachic ceremony doesn't require a get, so then more people will opt for a non-halachic ceremony. And he thought that was a bad idea, which Lemaisa, the last number of years has been happening in certain circles, especially in Eretz Yisrael. But the counter argument to that is maybe that's actually a good thing if you have people that wouldn't, the counter argument, which comes up every couple of years in Eretz Yisrael, where civil marriage is not legal. But the downside of not having a legal civil marriage option is that there are plenty of people who get married Kedas Moshe B'Yisrael and Eretz Yisrael, and then if they leave the country, get divorced, there won't be a get. So the consequences of having a halachic wedding where there's no get is far worse than not having the halachic wedding in the first place, if you assume, as we'll get to in a minute, the other poskim, that may occur then, such a civil wedding does not require a get. Revenkin's position, leaving aside the public policy consideration, his halachic argument was that there's a de facto presumption that if a husband and wife live together as such, that creates a halachically recognized kedusha. Rav Henkin does acknowledge that in Russia under the communists, which he knew well because that's where he came from, a civil communist marriage would not require a get. Because the communists had a different conception of marriage. That marriage to them was not viewed as a exclusive relationship. And therefore, if you entered into such a civil communist marriage, even Rav Henkin argued that it wouldn't necessarily require a get. There is a second argument that the Rogachever had, that within the world of the world at large, the Rambam famously tells us at the beginning of Hilchos Ishus that Kodem Matan Torah Adam Pogeh Isha B'Shuk. So it used to be in the pre-Matan Torah era, the way people got married is you met someone in the street and you went home and lived together, and that was marriage. And then after the Torah came along, then we have a new concept of kedushin, kikach ishisha. So the Rogachever has an argument that first model of Adam Pogeya Isha B'Shuk was never totally eliminated. That there's the pre-Matan Torah model of marriage and the post-Matan Torah model of marriage. But even post-Matan Torah, if a person were to opt for the pre-Matan Torah model of marriage and be Pogeya Isha B'Shuk and go home and live together, that would also constitute a de facto halachically recognized marriage. Okay. The Dvar of Ram, the Kavna Rav, has the following argument. Dvar of Ram, Chelek Gimel, Simen Kaf Tes, Oth Gimel. That maybe civil marriages are better, so to speak, or worse, depending on your perspective, than a default of Ein Adam Osi B'Lav Zabilasas. That even if your default presumption would be, like the Gaonim, that Ein Adam Osi B'Lav Zabilasas applies across the board, but if you have a civil marriage, so then that indicates that you dafka have kavana not to have a halachic marriage. So the fact that you're going a different route, where a civil halachic marriage is an option, you choose not to, you choose to have a civil marriage, that indicates you have no interest in a halachic marriage, and then you wouldn't say, you know, also be lasso, be lessness. Rav Asher Weiss has a similar kind of argument, at least in the context of Bimekel for Mamzeris cases, in Minchas Asher, Chelik Aleph, Simin, Ayin Beis. Okay. But the broader consensus position among poskim of the last two generations has been that most attributed to Rav Moshe, but many others say it as well. Rav Moshe has a number of tshuvas along the same theme, that push comes to shove, Rav Moshe held that we assume, like the Rivash, that when it comes to non-religious people, you don't say Einam Adam Osa Bilaso Bilasnus. He also points out that the Rivash's equation to Nida, the Rivash argued that if these people are Makel on Hilchos Nida, so clearly they don't care about the Daraisa, the Kares, the Yisra Chomer, so they're not going to be concerned about Eino to be lost to be listed. So that particular Nakuda, Rav Moshe is not as convinced of, because he says there may be situations where you don't have access to a mikvah, where it's not possible to keep Taras HaMishpacha, but doesn't mean that people wouldn't keep what they're able to. So that would, you know, the Rivash's argument, he says, on that Nakuda isn't necessarily always always applicable. But let's take a look at one of Rav Moshe's tshuvas. This is Chelek Aleph Eben Ezer Siman Ayin Hey. Beisha Shenises Rakbar Kos Lo Hayu Shomrei Torah. Hinei, B'dvari Isha Sher Haisa Nesua Labala Rakbar Kos Medina. So they're only married civilly. V'dari Imo Shnei Chadash B'mokon Sh'ein Sham Yehudim. And they live in a place where there are no Jews. So that's better, because if there are no Jews, then there's no hein hein edi yichud hein hein edi be to speak of. If they're living where there are kosher edim, so then maybe you have to be concerned about hein hein edi yichud hein hein edi be. The acher kaf dar levada shalosh shanim v'chetzi. Then she lived by herself another 3.5 years, and then they lived together for another 5 years where there were Jews, but they had no contact with the Jews, no contact with shomrei Torah mitzvahs. So then we're not as concerned about Ein Adam Osa B'Laso B'Lasness. And then they lived in Los Angeles, where there were Shomrei Torah, for another few years. So maybe we should be concerned that when they were living among Shomrei Torah, we say, Hein, 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 Deyuchad, Hein, 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 Debiya. Well, Befrat, they had children, and everyone knew that these were the children of these parents, and everyone identified them as being living together as husband and wife. So maybe we should say, hey, Nadiyuk and hey, Nadiyuk. The Moshe says, definitely, lechachila, you need a get. Aval, imi ashalasa get via guna. But if a get is impossible, and there's no way out, near sheish lismoch, al rivash. So yeah, you need a get, but push comes to shove, we default to the Rivash, which is quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that if these people are not observant, so we don't say about such people that ain't on the most to be less so be lessness. The Mufkar and Lava, Kalisuri Torah, Vinogin, Kanakrim, Vadim, Mufkar and Lissus, Nostra, Kalarias, Vakoshik and Lissa, Penuya, Vain Svika, Get, Medina. And therefore, you could be master without a get, but Malcolm, Ian. And even though Repenka disagrees, he thinks that that Ladina, we're not koshish for that if push comes to shove. That's Ramosha's argument here in this chuk. Now, what about a marriage performed by a non-halakha clergyman? So, in theory, in some ways it could be worse than a civil marriage. In some ways, it could be better than a civil marriage. If you had a wedding performed by a non-halakha clergyman, but there's a proper mesiras hatabas in front of two kosher edim, so that would be a proper kedushin that you'd have to be koshish for. However, there isn't necessarily an assumption that things were done properly. If a wedding was officiated by a non-Orthodox clergyman, so the Chasen Sofer has an anansadi that if there is a seder kedushin done, you assume it was done properly. But that anansadi does not apply to non-halachic clergymen. Then Rav Moshe points out in other ways, a reformer conservative wedding could be worse than a civil wedding. Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Vav, Chelek Gimel Simen Kafei, and Simen Kaf Zayin. So let's just read Chelek Aleph Simen Ayin Vav, at least a few lines of it. So there Rav Moshe writes, Bidvar Niskacha Eitzel Reform Rabbi, 1956. Bidvar Isha Shenisa is Le'echad Eitzel Reform Rabbi. V'chol Hanashim Shayiv Eitzel Nisu and Ayukula Mirsham Mufkarn L'chal Shabbos V'lavro Kol Mitzvah Satorah. The Evan there violated everything. V'asuda Haisam Nibisar Nevelo Sutrefos, it was certifiably trafe. V'kul and Achlu and Evan ate. The Ata Achare Avor is this man, Halakabami man of the husband abandoned her, the Ashalasu man of Gepaturin, Emeshta Tirla Alma, Mishum, Shalom Hayu Hakedushin, Kidina Torah. So do we say that we'll allow her to remarry because there wasn't a Lachi Kedushin? Nachal and Yasaiti Shayna Kedushin Shayetzal or Reform Rabbi Klum, and this bar Hate Shalom Hayu Sham Adim, Shayrim, Shabon and Sinus Tabas, Famirasarim, and Kadashis. So if there were Taka Adim, Shayrim, then even if there's no rabbi there, even if you have a Mesiras HaDavas in front of two Edom Cherim, then you have a good Kedushin. Filu hayu shnei k'shem sh'adam e'rachot, v'lo ro shem hayazeh, b'rav kasher, mumcha, shesidra kedushin, b'toz, zimen Edom krovim liyos Edom Kedushin, that's a chasen sofer just referenced him, in kov shem kedushin gemurin, medin lo tzvich l'kacha shenis. That if you have two Edom Cherim that were standing at a distance, they didn't see the Mesiras HaDabas. So if the rabbi was a legitimate Orthodox rabbi, and by mistake, one of the Edom under the chuppah was a apostle, then you assume, according to the Chasen Sofer, that the intention was to have a proper Lachi Kedushin, and if there are other Edom Sheirim present, then those Edom count as Edom Sheirim, but you don't say Nimsach HaKarv apostle. But that's only true if you have an Orthodox rabbi being Mesiras HaKedushin. Barur Pashat, Shal Rasha, may I reform him, Shasidur Kedushin, Lekan and Sadi, Shinasa Maitha Kedushin, and Sinas Biyadal Yado, Bamira, Share Kol Rabbi, may I reformer, Ose the Maitha Shaboda Milivo, they make up their own ceremonies, Yomer Shasidur Kedushin, Vainkana Filu Malas, Aksluk, the Matina Bakusim. So nothing. Even if they know that there's a rabbi there, that's not Eidos. Maybe we should be concerned that they live together as husband and wife. Ah, sheish laudin amash darbi achi derech ish v'ishtam haisa dirasam mevakem shenimsi yehudim cherim mitam heinei nedichud. So that's only true if a person knows that the first Kedushin wasn't good, and then they intend that the Bia should be the Shem Kedushin. But here, Zebar, She'elu ha'holkim before rabbi, sovereign b'dayit ha'matorah she'em kedusha. So if they were to have a civil marriage, they may know that a civil marriage is not Jewish. But if they're going to reform rabbi, they think that's a Jewish wedding. So then you don't say that the son's going to be as a shem kedushin, because in their mind, they already have the Jewish wedding. The kol shekein, the fact that these people are mufkarim, you wouldn't say, hein hein edi yichud, hein hein edi bia, anyway. So that's Rav Moshe's argument, that in that sense, a reform wedding is worse than a civil wedding. A civil wedding, in theory, you could have argued that maybe because they wanted the bia to be a halachic wedding. But if you go to reform rabbi, so you know that, or their mindset is that the reform wedding is a Jewish wedding, and then there is clearly no bia l'shem kedushin afterwards. Okay. Rav Moshe argues elsewhere that if there is a double ring ceremony, that may be worse as well, because then that indicates you don't have the conception of what the halachic kedushin is. And then Rav Moshe has a further point, Chelak Dalet Simen Yud Gimel and Chelak Dalet Simen Mem Vav, about the kashrus of such clergymen. Let's say you have a wedding performed by a conservative rabbi. So is the conservative rabbi a kasher if he's personally shomer Torah mitzvah, so shomer Shabbos in his own personal life? So Rav Moshe argues there are different tshuvas that have different formulations, and some are more strident than others. Rav Moshe there, Chelak Dalet Yud-Gimel Mem Vav, argues that even the best of the conservative rabbis who are personally observant may be considered psulim. And even if he doesn't drive to shul on Shabbos himself, he may be considered a pasul because he's a member of a movement which is based on kfira, based on nullifying mitzvos, and maybe even if he does it for parnasa, that's still considered to be a kofir. So that's what some of Rav Moshe's talmidim take that more strident approach, like with Natan Greenblatt, Zalgazunt, Shmuel, that any conservative rabbi may be a pasul be'etzem, even if he's a shomer Torah mitzvah. So in our bezdin, we've been more reluctant to embrace that that extreme, or at least koshesh, or consider that you would have to be koshesh for the kedushin of such a conservative rabbi, where he himself is a shomer Shabbos and there's another shomer Shabbos a present. That's something that comes up from time to time. But Rav Moshe had that position. Rav Nata said to me that was a godless Rav Moshe. He said versus Rav Yashiv. He said Rav Yashiv was more accepting of, at least in Pesachim, being choshesh for the condition of a conservative rabbi. Rav Nata said that's because Rav Yashiv's conception of the conservative rabbis wasn't as attuned to the American scene. And he thought that the conservative rabbi was more like a non-Orthodox rabbi. But Rav Moshe was here on the ground who understood. So he was a lot more strident, at least in some of the Brinda Tshuvas, about the apostling a conservative rabbi because of his beliefs. Now, as far as that point of Parnassa, that Rav Schechter raises the question, do you, if the conservative rabbi took the job, he was, the etzem was Shomer Torah Mitzvah, but he took the job for Parnassa, so is that considered to be a mumar l'teyava? If he took the job for Parnassa, but does that itself make him an apostle? Or do you say that some people in the 50s, 60s took those jobs because that's where they felt they could have more of an influence on the American Jewish community? So you wouldn't necessarily apostle for that reason. So these are some of the considerations that we look at in determining the status of a non-halachic wedding, both for the purpose of bimater and eshes ish l'shuk, without a get, where a get is impossible to procure, where push comes to shove, the more consensus position, both here and in Eretz Yisrael, is like Rav Moshe, that if there are no Edim Sheirim, then a wedding performed either civilly or by a non-halachic clergyman would not require get a push come to shove. And we don't say in such a situation, hein hein edei yichud, hein hein edei bia. The slightly related question that emerges, we saw Rav Moshe references in the tshuva we saw a few moments ago, is the application of nimsa echad mehem karva pasul in these kinds of situations. Let's say you had two edim miyuchadim, even if the wedding was performed by Orthodox clergymen, and then it turns out that one of those edim was a pasul. So we know the Gemara Makkah stuff up in Aleph. Amar Rava, Hachi Armina Lahu, Lamechzi Asisu, Lasudi Asisu. So the Gemara there discusses that we ask the Edim, where there's a potential of Nimsa Echa Karva Pasul, was your intention to say Edis, was your intention just to be a spectator? I Armi Lasudi Asu, Nimsa Echa Karva Pasul, Disimatela. So if they intended to say Edus, then you'd say Nimsa Echakar Pasli Dusamatela. If it's a Mechsi, then Ma'ayasu Shnei Achen Shira Bechachar Gatsanefesh. If they didn't intend to say Edus, then how could you ever kill anyone if there are relatives present, even if you have many other Kasher Edim? So Tosus writes in Baba Basra Kufi Dalab and Aleph, Oda Marie, the Hasanami Bekavana Luchuda, Sheniskavnu Lahai Bishas Ria, Lahai Say Dusamatela. That we're only concerned about Nimsa Echakarva Pasul, they have Kavanah L'Edus, because if that wasn't the case, forget about Mayasu Shneiach and Shirab Echachar Gatsan Efesh, but how do you ever have a Seder Kedushin? There are relatives present at the Chasana. So if you're going to tell me that even if you have no Kavanah L'Hayid, then automatically Nimsa Echakarva Pasul Yidusim Mateila, so then you won't be able to invite any relatives to a wedding? Or what happens if you have relatives that are present at a get? So it can't be that anyone there automatically is going to be disqualified, even if they have no kavana lahay. Okay. Now we know the famous comment of the Ritva in Kedushin Mem Gimel Amud Aleph Divrei Masel Itmar. With the Ritva writes, Niyu kol hecha sheyesh ba'osu mama k'sheim v'psulim okrovim, sarach li'achad edi kedushin. Now the Ritva says that in such a situation where there are relatives present, that's why you have to be mi'achad edi kedushin. Ilo kivein de'ika eit de'ilo, kivein de'ika eit pasul b'neim edis kol mateo. If you're not going to be mi'achad edi kedushin, then if you have a relative present at the chasana, it's all going to be batal. Even if they say l'mechzi yasina. But what do we pass in Shulchan Aruch? So the Mechaber, the Raman, Simon, Membei, Sifdalid, Im Kidesh Bifnei Edim, Afilo Amr Atem Edim, the Kudesha. So Mechaber says, if you're Mechadesh Bifnei Edim, even if you don't designate the Edim, the Kedushin's good. Agav, Afilo Yichid Edim, Yicholim Acheim Shirah Maisel Had. Even if you are Miachid Edim, that doesn't mean that other people can't be Meid as well. So in light of that, what happened if you had Seder Kedushin? And either you were Miyachid Edim, or even if you were Miyachid Edim, it turns out that one of the Edim that you're Miyachid is a Karav Apostle. So Rav Avadya was very fond of a tshuva of the Marivayil, Marivayil Simon Zion, which Beis Yosef quotes, was not quoted in Shulchan Aruch, that the Marivayil writes, the kaven near it, the kaven the yichdu edim elu veim psulim pshita the kedushin law of the kedushin. That if you're miyachid edim and the edim are pasul, the kedushin is no good. Afal gav da kedushin nasu b'pnei hamonam, even if there are many people there. Vayusham harbi edim ikla neimer tiskayim v'shar. So he says no. That if you're miyachid edim, then v'nim se'achar kar v'pasul edusim b'teila, and the kedushin is no good. And our Masara is like the Chasson Sofer that we saw in Moshe referenced before in Siman Kof, that no, that the assumption is that people want to get married, that's why they're having a Kedushin. And the assumption is that even if you have Edom Yuchadim, that if there's a problem with one of the Edom, then you want other people to function that role as Edom as well. As long as there are Edom Chayim present, then the Kedushin is still a good Kedushin. Rav Schechter says that they once asked the Rav such a Shaila, where it was determined after the fact that one of the Edom Kedushin was apostle, do they need to do the Kedushin again? The Rav didn't think that it was necessary to do another Seder Kedushin, even L'chumra. Based on this, Chasson Sofer. But Rav Avadia and those Rav Avadia's Talmidim in the world of Sephardi Pesachim and Eretz Yisrael, the Rav Avadia ran with this Marivayel, and there are a number of tshuvos in Yabia Omer, all the printed tshuvos in Yabia Omer in the Chalaka that were printed B'chayev were about situations of Mamzeris, which is more kal than B'madr and Eishas Ish La'alba. So situations of Mamzeris, Rav Avadia, a number of tshuvas, a number of instances was makel that if they made a determination that one of the Edim Miuchadim, or one of the Edim Kedushin was apostle, even if the wedding was done by an Orthodox rabbi and there were plenty of Shomrei Torah mitzvahs present, but then you say, based on this Marivayel, Nimsa Achakar apostle, you do some Tela, and therefore if the woman got remarried without a get, the product of the second marriage would be Pasha. Rav Avadia in the posthumous Chelek Aleph has a tshuva in where he was matir this kind of situation, a child from a second marriage, where they determined that one of the Edim Yuchadim, the Edim Kedushim, the first marriage, was an attorney who represented clients in the civil court system in Eretz Yisrael in violation of the Yisur HaKos. They said he's apostle for that reason, the fact that he's a lawyer in civil court in Eretz Yisrael. But then he said that the Kedushin wasn't good on that basis. There are other snifim there as well, but that's one extreme situation, apostling a diet. So all of Rav Avadia's tshuvas in the first ten chalakim were situations where he was matir a mamzeris scenario, based on possibly one of the Eidah Kedushin from the first wedding. We had a case a number of years ago in the Beis Din where there's a woman who could not procure a get from her husband. And there was some Askin who was trying to help her. And he came to us and he did research and he discovered that even though the wedding was done by a prominent Orthodox rabbi, one of the Eidah Kedushin, they were Miyachid Eidah Kedushin, one of the Eidah Kedushin was the Mechal Shabbos. So we were Gove Eidahs from a couple people. The people came, were made in front of this other person, the Mechal Shabbos, in front of Beis Din, that at the time he was the Mechal Shabbos. So in our Masara Psak, the Chasson Sofer, the Rav, that still doesn't apply because there are plenty of Kasher Eidim present. But it happens to be this woman was, I believe, of Sephardic extraction anyway. So we were curious, would Rav Avadia be makel even as far as the Yisur Eishes Ish in that kind of situation? Because all his printed tshuvas to date at that point were about Mamzeris. So I sent the Shaila to one of Rav Avadia's grandsons, Rav Avadia Yosef Toledano, who we had been in touch with a lot on similar cases. And so he wrote up the whole story. He gave it to his grandfather. He wrote a very nice tshuva. Then he gave it to his grandfather, and his grandfather Paskin. Then no, he goes to this Marivayel, even to be Mater and Eishes Ish La'alma. So that tshuva came back. So we passed it on. We weren't going to take that on our Arachayas or Paskin away, because that was against our Misarim Sak. But we passed on the tshuva to this woman. And then there's a whole tumult because she was in Lakewood, and the Lakewood Poskim got involved, Shlomo Miller got involved, and people weren't willing to accept Rav Avadia's talk. So this got back to Rav Avadia, and then he wrote a personal letter to Rabbi Willig, which I believe is the only personal letter that Rabbi Willig ever got from Rav Avadia, addressed to him personally, encouraging Rabbi Willig to please follow the talk to allow this woman to remarry, based on this Ma'ariv Bible. So that, I don't know what the Sof Maisa was with the woman. It was out of her hands at that point. But this whole, the number of Shailas that emerged from this particular Maisa was the fodder for one of Rabbi Avad Yosef Toledano's Sfarim called Mishpat Eidus, which is a few hundred page volume all about the issues that came up with this particular Maisa that we dealt with in Beth. Now, one other hashlacha of civil marriage is the question of how that impacts on Reah Chaget, which we had alluded to briefly last week. Do we have another 10 minutes?
Sure. I'm fine.
Sounds good.
Okay. So as far as Reah Chaget goes, the Gemara tells us in Yevamos and Daf Tzadi Beis Amud Aleph just trying to get on the screen here. Okay, so the Mishnah says on Sadi Beis Amar Aleph in Yevamos, Ha'isha Shahal. Let's skip in the middle. Amar La Meis Baalech. So they tell the woman that your husband died. Vini says, I'm sorry, the next one. Amar La Meis Baalech. They say your husband died. Viniskacha. So she heard her husband died, and she accepted kedushin from a second husband. And then her husband turned out was still alive. Muteres Laxerlo. So she's allowed to go back and live with her first husband. Afa Pishanasan La Akron Get, Lo Pasam in a Kahuna. Even though the second husband gave her a get, it doesn't possible her from Kahuna. As Zu Darish Rabbi Elazar Ben Masya. That a get is only relevant where you receive the get from a husband. But here, there's no tefisas kedushin because the first husband is still alive. So the get isn't of consequence. Okay. Then the Gemara says, on Daf Sadi Dalar Man Aleph, Isha Grusha Meisha, right before the Mishnah. Afilo Nuskarsha Ella Meisha Psula Kahuna. Different Rasha from that Pasuk. That even if the get is only from her husband, she's Pasla Kahuna. The Hainu Reacha get the Posel Bikahuna. What does that mean? Lo Nuskarsha Ella Meisha, says Rashi. Kigon, right before the Mishnah. Kigon Chakasav La get. The Amr La Hareya Mugaresh is Bimani via Mutaras Koladam. So a normal get is Hareya Mutaras Koladam. So he wrote a specific get that says, you're Mugaresh is for me, but you're still you're not merchant to anyone else. Shilon is Garshazu Lagamri Alame Isha Nifrida. So that get is not a full get. It severs a relationship with her husband, but isn't matching her to anyone else. So that's not a full legitimate get, but it still asks Hula Kahuna, it still creates a Reyach HaGet. So the fact that the Gemara there quotes a Pasuk sounds like we're talking about a Dinda Raisa, that Reyach HaGet Pasuls Lukahuna. Lashon HaRambam, Perek Yud, Halacha Aleph and Gerushin sounds like it's only a Dinda Rabbanon, because the Rambam there writes that whenever he says the lashon of There he writes that Isha Grusha Meisha Amr Chachamim Afilin Eskar Shalem Mishav Lahutra Lakol Nasa Lakuna Zeh Reach Agetcha Posel Bekuhuna Midivrayim. So there, the Rama is lashon that is posel Midivrayim. So after we're talking about a din, the Rabbanan so the Nosek Elam discuss that. Give me a second. I have to plug in the laptop here. So that's that is the Rambam sound like it's in the Rabbanan of the Pashas and the Gemara. The fact that we quote a pasuk is that it's a din derais. Be that as it may, so there is such a din of reach a get, even if it's not a fully effective get, still pasels le kahuna. Okay, and this din appears in Shulchan Aruch Simon Vav. So if Aleph, Simon Vav Sif Aleph, Kohen Asher Min HaTorah Begrusha Zona Chalala, the Asher B'Chalutza Midrabanan. Afilu reich get posel bekuna bekopin of salahot. See, he gedam reich get. He goin shamer laharem the gureshes mimeni via materasakol adam. The afafish lahutra bezag get nifsel bekuna. So the get's not effective, but it still creates a reich get. Afilu neskarsha rach mishum kol kedushin ma'alma afafishu barush ein mamish rosin kedushin. The einos din get rach mikar chumer ba'alma. Even if there's only a kol kedushin, it's only a chumrah that you do the get because of. Afilu hachi pesula min psula l'kahuna. So even if the get is only l'chumrah v'alma, that still passes l'kahuna. Okay. But that psak of the Ramah is based on a Shuvas HaRashba. Shuvas HaRashba chelik aleph Simin Tuf Kuf Nun. And the Ramah says the same thing for Maxik Rushaso, that there's an Isra Maxik Rushaso even if it's a Reach HaGet, that's Simin Yusuf Aleph. And also as far as the Din of Abchon of waiting 3 months in order to remarry, you have to wait 3 months because of a Reach HaGet, also Simin Yud Gimel to Iftes. The Nosei Kalim there, the Chalkas Bechok, the Beishmul are bothered that there's a stira between the Rashba that the Ramah quotes and a Rashba in a different shuba. The Rashba in the Miuchaso Simin Diet Simin Kuflam the days. And there the Rashba sounds like in a situation where a get is given the Chumra Ba'alma, then there's no need for there's no concern of Reach again. So that's a discussion among contemporary postgame. What is the status of Reach HaGet if you have a get given because of a civil marriage? It's Meikar Adin, we assume, like Rav Moshe, that if you have a civil marriage or non-halakha marriage, Meikar Adin, you don't need a get. L'chumra, we recommend a get. So let's say you received a get in that situation. Is a woman going to be a Asura L'Kohen? Is that considered to be a Reach HaGet? So Rav Avadya Yabia Omer Chelik Vav Eben Ezra Simon Aleph. Chelik Vav Simon Aleph is Makel. Various context is from Maxik Rishoso. At least for Spartan, he's Makel there. And in the posthumous volume as well, Chelik Yud Aleph Simon Lamed Bey Simon Lamed Gimel, he was Makel for Reach HaGet in a case of Nimsa Echad Karv Apostle. That's also the position of Rav Amar, Shema Shlomo Chelik Aleph Eben Ezra Simon Simon Beis. And we have on file a letter from Rav Aaron Soloveitchik, who was at that position as well. And that's the position of Rabbi Landisman and Munsey, and that was the position of Rav Nata Greenblatt as well. Rav Yashiv is quoted, Rav Nata said that he had this conversation with Rav Yashiv once, and in Rabbi Efrati's Chelik Vav that we quoted last time, he has a couple of tshuvas about this as well, that Rav Yashiv was Machmir on the reyach get from a civil marriage. Rav Yasha, for that reason, is quoted as recommending not doing a get even lechachila for a reform wedding. It's our position is that we should do even a reform wedding, any wedding, then you do a get lechumra. And when it comes to reyach get, we're willing to be megal on the reyach get shayla if the woman wants to marry a kohen afterwards. If we made a determination that mikra din, the first wedding wasn't a good wedding. But Rav Yashiv, who is machmir in reyach get, for that reason says that if it's just a reform wedding, don't do a get at all. I believe that the Bate Din Rabbanim in Eretz Yisrael will do a get for a reform wedding. But that's what he quotes from Rav Yashiv, that because he's machmir in reyach get, to be more makel, not to do a get even for a reform wedding. And then Rabbi Frati quotes the tshuva here from Mitzvah Pesach Frank, it sounds like it was machmir in the reyach get as well, for a civil marriage, and Rasib Ben Yaakov, one of the seniors of in Tel Aviv, has a tshuva or psak in which he was machmir on the reyach get there as well. So that's a open question among contemporary poskim. The position our best in is more lukul on the reyach get shayla, where me'ikar adin, we believe that the first wedding wasn't a good wedding based on this stira in tshuva sarashba. Okay, let's stop here.